Hi there. This is astrologer DK Brainerd, and you're listening to the Stars for the People podcast here on EmpowerRadio.com, empowering you. In this week's podcast, we're going to talk about the Libra full moon that's happening tonight, Monday, March 29th, somewhere around 10 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. You can modify that based on where you are on the planet. And along the way, I'd also like to talk about, you know, something that feels very current right now. And if I'm honest, it feels very current to me right in this moment, which is what my old mentor, in some ways, the good doctor of journalism, Hunter S. Thompson, called the fear, with a capital F. So stick with us. We're going to talk about what the full moon is doing to us, and I feel like the fear is going to break a little bit this week, later on in the week, and we're going to start moving into some slightly different astrology than what we've been going through for the last week and a half. But you know, I mean, I'm getting emails from people like, when is this going to end? And it's been an intense little period here. And so I want to explain a little bit about what's going on, which is, you know, we tend to think, and I think, you know, I'm guilty of this too. We tend to think of some of these astrological transits as abstractions, you know, in the sense that, you know, I'm reading my horoscope for the week or for the month, and I got a good Jupiter transit. And then, you know, maybe we think, I hope I win the lottery, or maybe I'll get a raise at work, or maybe I'll find a good job, or, you know, meet that great partner or whatever. You know, and then we hear like, okay, Saturn's going through this house in my chart. Oh, I hope it's not going to be, you know, Saturn's not going to be mean to me. And, you know, I know this is going to affect my finances or my relationships or whatever, what have you. But, you know, I hope it's not too bad. But we can also have a tendency to look at things like the ongoing Saturn-Pluto square. So we've got Saturn in Libra squaring Pluto in the sign of Capricorn. And, you know, I'm not going to go into the whole Pluto and Capricorn thing again here, except to say, there's plenty of information, you know, to look up on the web. But Pluto in Capricorn is a 15-year transit from about 2009 to 2023 that's going to totally reshape the way we exist as a world. And one way of maybe putting that in a nutshell would be, you know, that we're shifting from a manufacturing-based world economy to an information-based world economy. And I don't think we even fully understand what that means. Another way I like to look at it is that after hundreds of years of sort of this ascendance of an extremely left-brain dominant rationalized way of thinking, where we're thinking in concepts and we're not really dealing with the real world anymore. We're more dealing with concepts about the real world. And very left brain, very sort of masculine mind model. And Pluto and Capricorn, along with the 2012 shift, which we're already in, by the way, and this year, this is just such an intense year. You really can't get any more intense than this year's astrology. So with all of this going on, I feel like we're in the process of this long-term shift to where the right brain, creative, kind of female goddess energy, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and ramble and let all these thoughts come out. I hope you don't mind. If you do, you know, just call me, email me, let me know about it. And I'll try to straighten up and fly right, as they used to say back in Christian school. I'm actually doing this podcast from the Scenic Inn in Grand Blanc, Michigan, which is a little suburb just south of Flint, Michigan, where I grew up. I love the Scenic Inn, by the way, and I'd like to give a shout out to Howard, the owner, who I'm sure will not be listening. Although, who knows, maybe I will leave him a card and tell him that he is prominently featured. I always have these interesting conversations with Howard whenever I come up here and stay. Just right across the street, right down the street from where my mom and my stepdad live. And they have three cats, and I'm allergic to cats, so Howard has extremely reasonable prices. It's just kind of one of those old-style motels along the highway. But it's always clean, and my daughter Roya and I stay here whenever Roya's up with me. So I don't know, maybe it's being so close to where I grew up that's bringing up the old memories and getting me off track. But, you know, the whole, there's this very rationalizing influence in Christianity, not as an essential teaching, you know, as an essential spiritual, mystical, divinely revealed teaching, as I believe it was, but as it's practiced, you know, in the codified, uptight, battened down religious atmospheres like the one I grew up in. And I believe that, you know, even probably back at the time of Christ, and definitely in the indigenous cultures that have not been totally converted to the Christian mechanical manufacturing, you know, industrial war machine model of the world, that, so what I believe we're going to get back to, you know, and this is not to totally demonize the ego or the rational mind, as my, you know, one of my mentors, Stephen Gilligan, says, his ego is a great tool, but a terrible, terrible master. And the ego is a politician. It will do anything, do or say anything to stay in power. So even that noted, you know, we need an ego. We need the ability to think and talk to each other. But the problem that we're dealing with is that that left brain, ego, conceptual mind has gathered way too much power to itself. And it's out of balance, and we're out of balance as a result. You know, and that's obvious in everything from our relationships to our environment to the toxic, nutrient-free food that we eat, you know, to the war that we make on other countries. And this is whatever country you're coming from, you know, whether economically or through the military. You know, it's to the war that we make on the planet. And what I believe is coming back around in this shift that we're right in the middle of, and I will get back to why this year is so intense and why so many of us are feeling it so intensely right now. I promise you I will do my best to make my way back there. And you know, don't you love this show? You never know what you're going to get. I never know what you're going to get until I turn the microphone on. And I've been so tired this afternoon. I just had my herbalism class all day, and you know, blah blah blah. I got a lot going on, and now that I'm talking to you, you know, it just feels like it's flowing again, and I love that. But so what I feel like we're getting back to is, I was talking with my mom at dinner, and you know, she was saying something about, well, you know, these people way back when they were discovering the uses for these plants, you know, they probably didn't know, well, what the hell does this plant do? And they'd eat it, and you know, maybe sometimes they'd drop dead. And I said, well, you know, from what I understand from reading you know, accounts of South American shamans and Native American medicine men, and speaking with Native American medicine men and South American shamans, the plants told the people what they were used for. And I've had this sort of three or four different, this weird synchronicity that I'm actually just seeing right in this moment. Some things that I had totally not put together until this moment of these stories, the same story actually happening in modern times. There's a great book called The Return of the Bird Tribes, I think, by, and I want to say the author's name is Ken Carey. But it's The Return of the Bird Tribes, I believe, is the book. And he talks about how he lived out in the woods with his family for 9 years or something without electricity and I think without running water. This very simple lifestyle. And that after a few years of this, no TV, no radio, no newspapers, he began to just kind of spontaneously pick up transmissions from angelic beings and from, nature spirits and things like that. And my new friend Saskia, proprietress of Saskia's Flower Essences over in England, just sent me a link to a guy who makes these essences called Himalayan Flower Enhancers. And if you Google Saskia, I'm just trying out her new yarrow essence, which is very exciting. And check out this guy who does the Himalayan Flower Essences. Very cool story. And a very similar story in that he was living in Nepal or Tibet, living at altitude, living this very simple lifestyle, chopping his own wood and, carrying his own water, very little contact with people and no media contact. And he said he was walking through the mountains one day, and all of a sudden the flowers started talking to him. And he remembered as a child that he'd had the same experience, but like most of us, and I believe most of us knew as children what we came to this planet to do, but we got talked out of it by the adults, and those of us who are the fortunate ones are the ones who, found our way back to what we knew we loved doing as children and what we knew that we wanted to do. And so this guy, was like, okay, whoa, the flowers are talking to me. And, this flower said, eat me and notice how I feel in your body. And so he started doing this with all these different flowers and created this whole line of flower essences, which I can't wait to try out, including some astrological essences. How cool is that? That's what we've lost by being so bound up in the left brain and in the conceptual framework. And when I say conceptual framework, what I mean is when we're in the ego and we're not present, when we're in the thinking mind and we're feeling ourselves or we're experiencing, most of us at this point experience ourselves as actually being in the head, and as our consciousness being localized somewhere around the forehead. And we're thinking about life rather than quiet, being quiet and interacting and listening to life. And, when we're thinking, talking internally, we're in the left brain, and the left brain deals with words and with concepts. And, so we say tree, that's a tree. And we don't actually usually even see the real tree that's there, or that individual energetic imprint, that's tree. We just see tree and we move on because we're thinking about something else in our heads. We're usually imagining out into the future, talking about it to ourselves. Like, I gotta go to the store after this, and I really hope that, we find the right house so we can move in because we got a baby coming and we got to get everything set. And, or we're thinking about the past. I can't believe she said that to me, or I can't believe he said that to me. Or what was my boss thinking when, how does he expect me to work more hours, at the same pay rate when I've got all this other stuff going on, blah, blah, blah. And we see tree, or we see car, or we see, man in line. Whatever. what we're going to experience is that, and what we're experiencing now, and so I'm finally bringing it back to this full moon on Monday night, is that what the Saturn-Pluto square that has been ongoing and is going to, Saturn's going back into Libra now, so, or into Virgo, you know, in the next couple weeks. And it's kind of backing off of the exactness of that square. So, and I feel like after this full moon, a lot of this energy is going to break for us because it's just been building ever since the sun went into Aries last week. As the sun has been triggering it, sun has been squaring Saturn, pouring all the solar energy into the Saturn lesson that we're facing. And the sun has, you know, also then been squaring Pluto as well, or sun has been opposing Saturn and squaring Pluto, pouring all this energy into that. And what happens, what we've been building up to, the reason it's kept getting more and more intense is that the moon, full moon on Monday night in Libra, you know, is opposing, is conjunct Saturn, opposing the sun, squaring Pluto. So it's just pouring huge amounts of energy. And, you know, full moons are times when the energy's at its peak anyway. So the negative side of Saturn is fear. The negative side of Pluto is acting unconsciously, acting out of the unconscious parts of the soul. The positive side of this, you know, any Saturn-Pluto configuration is controlled power. But with Pluto, it needs to be transpersonal power. And so in order for us to get to that positive side, our fears have to come to the surface. And in a lot of ways, that's really what Pluto, in my opinion, is all about. Pluto is about making conscious the unconscious archetypal levels of the soul, past lives, family history, you know, it just all kinds of other dimensional realities that are part of us that we usually just don't pay attention to. And in fact, consciously try to block out because they're too scary. So as this energy has been building up, if you're feeling uncomfortable, that's probably a good thing, because what that's trying to do is, what this energy is trying to do is help you to let go of, eject, you know, in some senses sort of vomit out emotionally the old fears that keep you trapped in the negative Saturn paradigm, which is being subject to someone else's authority that, you know, and usually that you don't like. And that someone else may be your boss, or it may be your partner, you know, but it may also be your mom and dad when you were five, or even further back in the Saturn-Pluto sort of deep soul sense. It may be a family pattern that started generations ago that has been playing out repeatedly without stopping through your grandparents and your grandparents' grandparents and all the way down to your mom and dad and now to you. You know, and that you're going to pass this pattern on to your children unless you become conscious of it. So, a new dear friend of mine just forwarded me Jonathan Kaner's kind of special offer about the, you know, this alignment of Saturn and Pluto that's going to be joined by Uranus in the summer. So, you know, then things are really going to get exciting. And it was kind of saying, you know, astrologers are going to tell you these are challenging times, but what they really are is an opportunity. You know, don't miss this opportunity. Sign up for my new service. And he's got a point there. There is huge opportunity here, because when we let go of those fears, and not even let go, when we just become aware of them, you know, when I just become aware that my behavior is dominated by the fear of my mother and father's anger when I was 6 years old, there's tremendous power in remaining aware of that, because then I can see myself reacting with that fear when my partner challenges me, or, you know, when I'm stepping into a new situation at work. And if I can see myself reacting in that way, I actually have choices. Whereas when I remain blind to the fact that I'm acting out my parents' dramas, you know, then I'm really screwed, because I have no choice. I have no free will at that point. I am an automaton, just, you know, mindlessly repeating the same pattern that they repeated, that their parents and their grandparents repeated. I think you get the picture there. So that's what I see the potential of this, of Monday's full moon being for all of us, is that by triggering this Saturn-Pluto energy, it's really giving us an opportunity, and you can see this in the way that you're relating to the world, and I'm going to put this in quotes, out there, okay? So if you're feeling like you can't have a good relationship, have the money that you need, get ahead in life, be healed of your sickness, you know, whatever the thing you're feeling, I can't do that because the world is going to hell, because they're still fighting in the Middle East, you know, because there's this new horrible stuff going on in Afghanistan or Iraq, because of Obama, because of Cheney and Bush, because of the Republicans, because of the healthcare bill, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's time to take back our power, going back to the Jonathan Kaner thing, you know, yeah, I agree. There's a huge opportunity here for us, but to say these times aren't challenging to me, you know, is in a way doing us a disservice, because what we're being offered is a radical new level of reality. But the challenge is letting go of the old behavior patterns and allowing ourselves to become aware of the fear. You know, and I believe that that's something that we contracted before we came here. I also don't believe that it's easy most of the time. And I believe if you tell yourself, I should be doing better than I am, I shouldn't be afraid, you know, I should be able to handle this, then you're doing yourself a disservice as well, because you are in human form for the purpose of working through that unconscious stuff and really helping the whole to evolve to a higher level. So, what are a few ways that we can work through fears? And then I'm gonna bring this to a close. You know, writing your fears, speaking your fears is very powerful. Just getting them out of your head, out of your body, and allowing yourself to become aware of them. Drawing your fears, painting your fears, singing your fears, dancing your fears, you know, anything that gets that energy moving and gets it out of that stuck place where it has power over you is extremely powerful. Working with mantra or affirmations, you know, is another powerful way of working with fears. I mean, what we're really wanting to do is engage. In our archetypes and alchemy and soul retrieval class on Wednesdays, we've been working with the Ho'oponopono formula, which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. Dr. Hugh Len, and the book that talks about it is called Zero Limits by Joe Vitale. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. You know, and so just whatever the picture is of the fear or whatever the feeling is of the fear, hold that in your mind and then just repeat, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Great way of working with it. You know, some people really like things like emotional freedom technique. I've never really found that to be that helpful for me, but I know some people swear by it. Going for a long walk is really good. Taking a hot shower, you know, taking a bath can be good. Although I find, you know, the stronger the fear, the more you need to get moving, get the body moving. But what we're ultimately saying is we need to engage. You know, it's not good enough for us at this point in our evolution, personally and collectively, it's not enough to ignore the fear and hope it goes away. It's not enough to say, wow, I really feel terrible. Who can I project this onto? The Iraqis or the Democrats or the Republicans or my partner or the people at work or the ignorant people in my city. You know, not good enough anymore. What we need to do is engage with that fear. And when we do, when we bring awareness to it, we allow it to move through us and we allow it to let go. And then you remember who you really are. And who you are as a co-creator with the divine. Who you are as the divine spark who came here to have this incredible earthly experience. And then, you know, when we've engaged with that fear and we felt it and we've allowed it to move through us and move out of us, then we can be present. And then we can be channels for this amazing creativity. And that's where I will agree with Jonathan Kaner, that when we do that work and when we have that courage, we summon that courage to engage like that, this is a time where miracles are not only possible, but probable. I hope you found this useful and enjoyable. Until next week, this is astrologer DK Brainerd saying, may you go with the stars.
I've seen the best minds of my generation refuse to take their medication. Your electroshocks, your chemical pills, ain't gonna cure what ails us. And I've seen the best minds of my generation washing windows at the service station now.